Peter was bringing before us those two things that God is. And my minds were just directed to continue in that same vein. To think with you just of these two things. That firstly, God is light. And secondly, that God is love. So I want to turn, please, for our reading. Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. Let's take a greeting from verse. Let's read from verse 13. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. These are words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says this to religious leaders. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Notice that very carefully. Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Second reading, please, in Romans and chapter 5. Now Peter, he quoted this verse for us just before he sat down there. Romans in chapter 5. And indeed, it is a wonderful chapter. Maybe we'll just take time to read the first portion of it. Romans in chapter 5, verse 1, writes the Apostle Paul, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For, this is where we want to get to, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And one final reading, please. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 2. Ephesians and chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 writes the Apostle, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's writing to believers. And you have he quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past Ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know that God is pleased to add his blessing upon the reading of his most precious word this evening. Now, as we say, what we want to do, just as God gives help just for 10, 15 minutes or so, is just continue with what our brother Peter was bringing to consider. There we were considering God is light, firstly, and secondly, God is love. That is what we want to think of tonight. There in Romans in chapter 5, in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we are reminded of the first of those things, that God is light, says the Lord Jesus Christ to the Pharisees. Ye are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. God is light. Luke chapter 16 is teaching me what? It's teaching me this, that God knows me, and he knows you. I wonder if you've taken time to appreciate that. Let me just tell you a little something about what these Pharisees were like. They were a people who were resting in their self-righteousness, with their observance of the Old Testament law. And so you would see that they would be making much of their tithing, their giving of tithes. They'd be making much of their fasting. They'd be making much of their long prayers on the street corners. They were making a pretense so that others would look upon them and thought, and they would think, wow, what a righteous man. But says the Lord Jesus Christ, it was just a pretense. It was just a facade. And in fact, the Lord Jesus, he speaks very frankly. And he speaks very plainly to these Pharisees as he prescribes all these woes upon them. And he just speaks of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And you know what? He even likens them as though they are but some whited sepulchre. It looks great and grand and glorious on the outside, but you know what a sepulchre is, don't you? It is just that which encases dead men's bones. Mm-hmm. It looks grand on the outside, but the inside is dead. Mm-hmm. And says the Lord Jesus, that is exactly the sort of people that the Pharisees are. Mm-hmm. Making much of all the show of religion. Peter's been reminding us of religion. Come on, save us. Amen. We're not preaching religion. Amen. We're preaching Christ.
Amen.
We're preaching a relationship with the living God of heaven.
Amen.
And that is had through coming to faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You see, we are conscious that as we walk down the high street in Coastal, and as we just mill out into the surrounding areas, we will come across church buildings. And there are people who are very zealous in attending such. And yet, they haven't got eternal life. They're very sincere, but they've missed the man, Christ Jesus. You can be very sincere, dear friend, and you can be very sincerely wrong. We're not here to preach religion. All that we have been told to preach, as we have said on previous evenings, is to preach Christ Jesus. That's all we're preaching. That through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. And you can know your sins forgiven tonight. And you can know peace with the God of eternity. You can have a bright and blessed prospect waiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Waiting for a day when you will be in his presence, when you shall see him and you shall be like him. You can have that, but it's through Christ.
Amen.
Not through the religions of this world. I wonder, is there a soul in the gathered company and you are but a Pharisee? You think that the gospel doesn't really apply to you because you see, I was born into a Christian home. The gospel doesn't really apply to me because, you see, I've enrolled in my local church. I go there each week. I give to the collection. I take the communion. I do all these things. So thank you very much for your message, but it's not for me. Says the Lord Jesus, ye are they which seek to justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts. Have you ever had dealing with the God of eternity about your sin? Have you ever recognized that you are, as the prophet Isaiah would say, an unclean thing? Have you ever come to the point when you have recognized that God is holy and God hates my sin? It is my sin that has separated me from God, and God is angry with my sin. It grieves God at his heart. And I am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Now you come to that point tonight. You will never be saved until you get to that point.
Amen.
When you appreciate that God is light. He dwells in light, unapproachable. God is so holy. You know the prophet Isaiah, he can say in Isaiah chapter 6, he could see, he could have a vision, the prophet Isaiah, of one who is high and lifted up. He could hear he could see one who is sat upon a throne and all the glory of his person. And he could hear the angelic throng saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And you know what? He began to appreciate just who God is. Just who he was. And he says, I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling amongst the midst of a people of unclean lips. And he recognized that God is light. Have you tonight? God knows me. But Peter brought us to consider not only the fact that God is light, but that God is love. And in Romans in chapter 5, we were again reminded something of the immensity of God's love. You know, a couple of nights prior, I was thinking with you about how it is your sin that has separated you from God. I want to tell you tonight, on the authority of God's word, that there is something that you cannot be separate from. Yes, your sin has sentenced you from God's presence. Yes, separated you from God's presence. Sin is that which will sentence you to a lost eternity if left undealt with. But there is one thing that you cannot be separate from, and that is the love of God.
Amen.
Romans in chapter 8 would tell that. Now, I appreciate those verses are written to believers, but it uses that little word, That little Greek word agape. It's a word for love. Not just any love. But an unconditional, an undeserved, an unmerited love. It's the same love with which God loves the world in John chapter 3, verse 16. A totally unconditional, a totally undeserved, a totally unmerited love. And Paul writes in Romans in chapter 5 and Romans in chapter 8 and says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He could speak about that love having a height, and he could speak about that love having a depth, and he just speaks about this immeasurable, indescribable love that God has for you. Oh, God hates your sin. We're very clear on that from God's word. It grieves him. He hates it. He abhors it. Sin is an offense to God.
Amen.
But God loves the sinner.
Amen.
Oh, God has a love for you, dear friend, in the meeting where you're sat. We love to tell you that God has a love for you. Peter was reminding us that it's a very personal love. It's the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God loves you as an individual. He knows everything there is to know about you. Or he knows the depth of your sin. You know, maybe there's things that you are too afraid, too ashamed to tell your friends of some of the things that you've done. Some of the places that you've been. Some of the things that you've said, even maybe some of the things that you have thought. And yet God knows. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Bible tells us that God knows your frame. He knows the physical makeup of your being. He understands your thoughts afar off. God knows you in a very intimate and a very real way, more so than anyone else can know. And yet, despite the fact that we are all as an unclean thing, and despite the fact that all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, the wonder of wonder is that God loves you.
Amen.
We're reading there in Romans in chapter 5 about how that love has been commended. About that, how that love has been demonstrated. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wonder of that verse, you know, is magnified by the verse that goes before it. That's why I read it. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. You say, what does all that mean? Scarcely. Hardly ever will a man give his life for a righteous man. That means an upright man, an honorable man. Hardly ever, never at all, would one ever consider and ever place such a worth on a righteous man that they in their turn would give themselves in their stead. For a righteous man, scarcely for a righteous man, will one die. It's never heard of. Peradventure, for a good man. This is more than a righteous man. This is not only someone who is upright and morally good in that sense. He is good in the sense that he is useful. He has a worth. He has a merit. And says the Apostle Paul, peradventure, hardly at all. A little bit more than for a righteous man, but it's hardly heard of. Hardly ever would one place sufficient worth even on a good man, a useful man, that they would give their life in their stead? And yet, the Apostle Paul says that God commendeth his love toward us, now while we were yet what? Righteous? Doesn't say that. There is none righteous, no, not one. For God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet good. Doesn't say that either. The Bible tells us that there is none good, no, not one. For God commendeth his love toward us, now while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see something of the wonder of that? It is a love that we are totally undeserving of, because we are not righteous and we are not good, and rather we have offended the God of eternity, and yet God looks upon us in a heart of love. He loves us so much that he would send his only begotten Son. He would send the very best. He would send his only Son to go all the way to Calvary's cross, to there upon that central cross suffer in agonies untold, so that God can be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. There's a way that is being made open so that we can be saved, and it's through coming to Christ, and it demonstrates something of the immeasurable, unmerited, undeserved love of God. God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knows me. God knoweth your hearts, says the Lord Jesus. He knows me, he knows you. Oh, but not only does God know me, God has shown me, he's shown me what? How much he loves me. He's shown me the fact that God is love, and Calvary's cross is the proof. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone all the way, dear friend.
Amen.
He wants to save you. God longs to save you. God will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The one whom we are telling you of tonight has a desire that every single man, woman, boy, and girl in Coastal be saved. Amen. That's the God that we're dealing with tonight. A God who is a God of love. Oh, but you need to come. You need to come. You need to come. You say, well, how do I come? Well, you come on the basis of grace that has already been demonstrated. Ephesians in chapter 2 tells us that. You come as a result of the grace that has been shown in Calvary's cross in the sending forth of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you come into the good of that which was done upon Calvary's cross through faith.
Amen.
All you need to have faith. You know, faith is not believing about. There's plenty of people that believe about. They believe about God. They believe some things about the Bible. They believe some things about Jesus Christ. They believe about, and yet they have never placed faith and trust in the person of God's Son. You know, we teach a little acrostic to the children on the word faith. Perhaps it will be a help of you tonight if you're not yet saved. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. Let go of your own ideas. Let go of your own self-righteousness. You are just deceiving yourself. You're just seeking to justify yourself before men. God knows your hearts. You will never attain to the standards that God requires. Forsake all of that.
Amen.
And trust him.
Amen.
Trust Christ Jesus. He has done the work that saves, and God is totally satisfied.
Amen.
God has raised him from the dead. And there's a man sat down. There's a man sat down at the right hand of God. And he's willing. He's longing. And he's able to save. God is light. God is light.